call the February 11, 2010 Code Enforcement Board meeting back to order, please. We're going to move forward with our new cases. Are there any respondents out there who would like to come forward? We'd like to take those cases where we have respondents present.
One at a time. Come on, you are up first, sir. Come on up.
You know what case you're?
Yes, it's first.
The 19th?
Oh, that's good. Getting right in order there. Case number 19, CEB021021, Robert B. and Robert W. Hume. And the respondent is present.
Can you state your name, please?
Yes, Robert Hume, H-U-M-E. Edit.
Mr. Hume, are you Robert W. or Robert B.?
I'm the Robert W.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the Robert B. was my dad.
Oh, I see. Steve, what can you tell us about it?
I opened up this a while ago, a nice complaint from the police department based on dorm living and junk vehicles. The dorm living issue has been taken care of. I've been in contact with Mr. Hume. He's planning on removing the Cadillac or getting it running and licensed, and once that gets moved, the boat will go behind the house. I went out there yesterday. It hadn't been done, and I was kind of hoping he would show up because he could explain it for a reason.
Mr. Hume?
The buyer didn't show up. So today is buyer number two. I've got an alternate bidder. So it should be out of there today. Hopefully it was going to be done by yesterday, as Steve said.
Okay. Do you agree, Mr. Hume, that the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance.
So moved, and further moving that the respondent be required to come into compliance by March 3rd or be returned to the board for consideration of fine of $1,000 a day.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thanks, Mr. Hume. We've given you until our next cutoff date, which is March 3rd, 2010, to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
Pat, thanks.
Thank you.
That gives you plenty of time, right, Mr. Hume?
That will.
Yeah, okay.
Just for the record, I'd like to note that Mr. Jones did excuse himself at 11 o'clock, well, 10:45 a.m.
Case 25 will be next, sir.
Case number 25. Case number 25 is CEB021027. Would you raise your right hand and be sworn and state your name, please, for the record?
My name is Dr. Provides. Can you state your name, please?
Candace Grindstaff.
Good morning, Ms. Grindstaff. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mark, this is one of yours.
Right. This is a case of a vacant house that has some prior work that was begun on it, and the permits expired, and then another permit was revoked on 4/20/09. The property is basically at this particular point boarded to some degree. The fence has been taken down. It was another issue that the contractor put up without a permit, and it's been taken down. But the house is pretty much as it is there, and we're asking that Ms. Grindstaff bring this property into compliance or demolish the property, whichever she wishes to do. But there is a lengthy list of items that has been indicated on a long term, which I think you all should have.
Yes.
And also, of course, a letter under Chapter 22-28 indicated that the property is in violation of the Land Development Code and, of course, International Property Maintenance Code, and that it is unsafe as it is at this particular time.
Ms. Grindstaff, would you like to make some comments?
I didn't realize it was unsafe. Of course, no one can go onto the property.
Would you talk to the microphone? Stand to the microphone.
I didn't realize that it was actually unsafe. The property is being renovated. And right now it's with the police department on a no trespass program, so nobody no one can go onto the property. I wouldn't want anybody, whether they're homeless or vagrant or anyone, I don't care who they are, I don't want them to go onto my properties and be hurt in any way.
Okay. Have you pulled the proper permits for the work?
Sir?
Have you pulled the proper permits in order to have the work done?
My contractors did, GC contractors.
Okay. Mrs. Grindstaff, do you agree that the violations existed at the time of notice? Do you agree that the property was in the condition that it is in or was in at the time that you were notified of the violations?
Well, the house is being renovated, and once the contractors left and I got onto other projects, I thought it looked pretty bad.
Okay, so you are saying yes. Are you saying yes? Do you agree that those conditions did exist? That are noted.
Well, I'm ashamed if anybody drives by and knows it's my property, but I'm trying to get it fixed up because I'd like to be able to lease it.
Okay, let me ask you in a different way. Do you agree that the property needed repair at the time that the inspector notified you or another party of these violations?
Need to have the grass cut.
When I cited you, Ms. Grindstaff, were there violations there? When I cited you and I gave you paperwork, were there violations on the property?
Violations
the grass, the fence needed to be fixed up. Were those violations present?
Yes.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion found and responded in noncompliance.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like some clarification, if I may, with Ms. Grindstaff.
Yes.
Our prior contractor, I believe, is no longer on the job. Those permits have expired. Have you renewed with a new contractor to obtain new permits?
No, sir.
Okay, that's the question I'm having is that hopefully by next cutoff is what I'm requesting, that we have permits obtained, or a contractor, a letter from a contractor with intent maybe or something of that nature,
right,
is what I'm asking for next cutoff.
And Mrs. Grindstaff, someone signed for a notice, George Hicks. Was that the former contractor?
No, sir. He lived on the left side of the building, facing the building.
So he was
for a little while. But I did not rent to him. I could not rent the building.
So Mr. Hicks is more or less a neighbor?
Well, he doesn't live there now. He's become a friend of mine.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the city would be asking for the progress report as indicated within 30, and then the compliance date would be remaining.
Progress report indicating that there permits have been secured.
New contractor and drawing permits.
Something in the progress report that we're looking for and by next meeting, and then by the meeting after that within 60 days compliance date. That's what we're asking for.
With all those things on the long form, you think 60 days is enough time, Mark?
Again, I'm being reasonable, and we can always extend it at that time, but Ms. Grindstaff has taken the fence down, had a contractor take the fence down, and the grass has been mowed, and she has solicited for it to be a trespass or a site, as I last heard. But this has been sitting there in that condition to where that wood is faded, as you can see, and it's been there for a while, and it's an eyesore of the community. It's in a redevelopment area, and it's not very far off our main thoroughfare. So I'm asking to kind of keep things moving along.
To secure it now.
It's secured, yes, sir. And unfortunately, we had to take the fence down because it was a not properly...
Right, yeah, chain link in the front yard. Yeah.
Chair would entertain a motion allowing respondent until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance and requiring the respondent to either appear at our March 11, 2010 meeting or provide some type of progress report to the inspector, indicating that permits have been pulled and or applied for, and that a contractor has been hired, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second by Ms. Himes. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
I'd like to make sure that the respondent understands and responds to that. Understands what our motion is. I want to make sure you understand what we're asking you to do. and make sure we have your comments to that.
Yeah. And I think
we're requiring you to come into compliance. That is to have all these things fixed by April 3rd. And further, that you come in here, that you provide evidence to us next month that you've hired a contractor and he's in the process of pulling permits. Does that seem reasonable to you?
Finances permitting, I'll try.
Is it reasonable? April 3rd is going to give you enough time to...
April 1st.
April 1st to bring the property into compliance? That's going to be enough time for you?
Everything that's listed on the paper. Does that mean that's my deadline totally?
Comments,
is that my deadline?
Yeah, we can always review.
We can always extend.
I can't promise that.
You can make progress by then.
Make progress? I'll try to make progress. I will try to be working on it. Yes, sir, I will.
Okay, now, one thing to be sure of, if you can't do it,
yes, sir.
We want to see you here again to explain to us that you can't do it.
All right.
Don't just not come. Come back and explain to us, and we can give you more time if you need it.
All right, sir.
Okay, but we're requiring you right now by April 1st to be in compliance, and our next meeting to give us proof that you've hired a contractor and he's pulling permits. Now, you don't have to come to do that. You can tell Mr. Ellison that you show him the letter from the contractor, and he can come in your place next meeting. Okay, but if you can't do either one of those, you need to come back and see us. Don't ignore us, okay? And then we'll be very kind to you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. We have a motion and second. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Grindstaff.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Mr. Maroney?
27 is next, sir.
What was the case again?
27.
Thanks. Case number 27, CEB021029, Anthony Maroney.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you raise your right hand, state your name, and be sworn?
I'm sorry, sir. Yes, I do.
And for the record, would you state? Yeah.
Anthony Maroney.
Maroney. Okay. Mark.
I didn't know if you knew that maybe for future that 26 was in compliance on 2910, if you could check that note.
2910.
I'll pick that up. Mr. Maroney, on case number 27.
Yes.
He is in non-compliance. He's a renter. The occupants are not abiding by our notices. And he has applied for the rental license. I want to let you know that. But right now it has not occurred. Still not obtained yet. So that's the position we're in. The occupant keeps continuing to park in the front yard. And there are circumstances where that I've not spoken to the occupant, but I have left notices on the door from the very beginning, a courtesy card first, then the letter to Mr. Maroney, of course, is the owner. And we are not getting compliance, with the exception of Mr. Maroney trying to get his occupant to do so.
Okay. Do you have any comments, Mr. Maroney?
Bottom line, they have notice. If they do that one more time, park in the grass in the front, I will be giving them eviction papers, and then they'll be gone, and I'll move someone in there. I'll find a tenant that has one car. Not two, because right there on San Juan, it's very tight. There's two vehicles there now, and they're parking in tandem every time I pass by. But I'm not there in the daytime when Mark goes by, and they maybe come home for lunch or something. I think they were trying, but now they know they have no choice, or they'll have to be evicted.
Mark goes by early in the morning. And they're there apparently all overnight because there's dude generally on the vehicle.
And what is your status, Mr. Maroney, on securing the rental license?
The status on that is that will be all hopefully completed within the next week or so.
You have applied for the rental license.
Yes, sir. I did apply for it.
Have you got an inspection scheduled?
No, there's not one scheduled right now, but I should call today or by the beginning of next week and schedule that.
You could talk to Mark today and schedule it, probably.
Yes, sir. You'd have to go through the permit for license and office to make that because they do that at office downstairs. I do it before I left the vehicle.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Maroney, do you agree that the violations existed at the time that you were notified?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion found in respondent noncompliance and allowing the respondent until March 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Hyams, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of
the
board?
Just clarification that $250 fine is as of 3-3, not now.
It was a one-time administrative fee.
Yeah.
It's just a one-time fee.
That's at the next meeting.
Well, no, that doesn't necessarily.
We would impose it at the next meeting. Yeah, I'm sure that's what you meant.
Yeah, consideration of that.
Yeah.
That administrative fee. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Mr. Maroney, we've allowed you until March 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance regarding the parking in the yard. If you're not in compliance, you can be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. And in addition to that, we're requiring you to secure your occupational rental license, or you'll have to pay a $250 one-time administration fee.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
For the record, case number 26, CEB021028, is in compliance as of February 9, 2010.
And we'll be going right to number 28, sir.
28? Yep. CEB021030, Richard M. Is it Matt?
Matt.
Okay. Go on.
He's the owner, sir. Oh, you want
to?
I do.
And can you say your name?
Frank Panarella. I'm the acting property manager. Mr. Matt is the owner who resides in California.
What can you tell us, Mark?
Not compliance, sir. Start off.
Okay.
They're working on it. I'm pretty sure it hasn't been done by the next time.
Yeah, I've got the faceboard replaced already on the outside. The inside ceiling's done. The outside steps and walls been pressure washed already. So it's just, we had a communication problem. I mean, Mr. Ellis told me he was posting notices on the door, and I kind of had a problem tenant upstairs I was trying to get rid of, and they were removing them, and then he was sending them to the owner, and I wasn't. It was a communication problem.
Okay, do you agree that the violations existed at the time of notice?
Oh, yes.
The chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until March 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Session.
Second by Ms. Hyams. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Do you agree that March 3rd is a reasonable time for you to come into compliance?
What was the date, sir?
March 3rd.
March 3rd. Yes, sir.
That's a month.
Mm-hmm. If something happens, I'll make sure I'm here at the next meeting.
Okay. Something happens, you be here and look at us.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
But it's reasonable, yes.
Good. Thank you.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
31.
Case number 31, CEB021033, Marsha C. Johnson. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Can you say your name, please? Marsha Johnson Harpole. Yes. Harpole. Yes.
Would you prefer Ms. Johnson Harpole or
just Harpole? Harpole's fine.
Hi, Barbara.
This is 121 Jubilee, LPGA. Violation is for installing a fence without a permit. I have been in contact with the homeowners, and back in 2007, she did receive an approval letter, and at that time, she failed to get a city permit. I'm thinking she's going to have to go through the whole process again with her
homeowners.
So I'm recommending she's in non-compliance and giving her until April cutoff.
Okay. Do you have any comments, Ms. Hopple?
I do have the paper where you sent it to the Jubilee, which is our homeowners, and then they sent it to the approval board. I do have that because I made it 6 foot instead of four. It's only three pieces. So I had somebody come out and cut it down. I did come to the city and try to get a permit, but they told me I didn't need one, and I even have the card, which I have told Barb that. And I'll get the permit. I'm getting the runaround with the subdivision because they don't know who's handling who.
Do you agree that at the time of notice that the violation existed?
I didn't know that at the time.
You are aware at this time.
Yeah.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing respondent until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance. Will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So such a motion.
Motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any questions and comments by members of the board?
April 10th, give you ample time to do this.
Well, I guess I have to reapply, which they cannot find the paperwork because somebody else has taken over the management group. So I can reapply, but... Yes.
I convey to her that we give the April cutoff. If there is, for some reason, we could always amend that.
Right. Okay.
If you can't, be sure you get a hold of the inspector. Keep that communication going because that's what's going to save you.
Okay.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all of them in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. For the record, case number 32, CEB 021034, is in compliance of the 12810. Also, for the record, case number 34, CEB 021036, is in compliance as of February 2nd, 2010.
And we're going to go to the last 37.
37.
And then I believe that's the last person here.
Case number 37, CEB 021039, J3 Land Partners Limited.
Good morning. Kimberly Friedman. Yes.
Ms. Friedman, what is your relationship to J3 Land Partners Limited?
I'm the Director of Property Management for J3 Land Partners.
Thank you. Steve, what can you tell us?
Yes, sir. I'm speaking for Officer Clayton on this one, and I have been physically at the location, and they were in compliance at that time.
Okay.
Officer Clayton was sent to this location at 12:13 and 12:19 for two reports from the police department for outside activity. They were given notice at the business location, and then each time they would comply and bring stuff in. Officer Clayton is requesting a will find. They are in compliance at this point.
What was the compliance date, Steve?
Outside activity, sales on the sidewalk.
And what was the compliance date?
Oh, I'm sorry. Each day he went out there, they were in compliance immediately following.
What was the last date?
12:13 and 12:19.
12:19.
Yes.
I just have a comment. This is a play-it-against sports location. They consistently bring all of their equipment out to the common area sidewalk, which we do not agree with. We've given them notices of same. And what the code enforcement person is doing is going there and telling them, and then they bring it in. And the next day they take it back out again. So.
Wow. Sounds like an addiction.
Yes.
In today's economy, please. At least they pay the rent.
Yeah, that mall, that strip mall, losing people left and right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I spoke out of turn.
Mrs. Freeman, do you agree that at the time of violation of, well, I guess we found them in compliance.
Yeah, it's in compliance.
So,
well, you still need to find them in non-compliance.
Okay. Yes. Do you agree at the time of notice that the violations existed?
Yes.
Okay, Chair would entertain a motion finding and respondent previously in non-compliance and now finding and respondent in compliance as of the latest date, 12/19/2009. And, given consideration to a will fine for each subsequent violation up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Thank you. What we've done, Ms. Friedman, is each time that there is a violation of city code in this manner, we can return you to the board for consideration of a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence.
I understand.
Can you pass that on to them?
Yes, but the point of the matter is, will you ever collect it? That's the point of the matter. You can add anything on to a tenant's account. And yes, well, he's in violation immediately when I received this notification for the hearing, because I did not get any notification prior to this hearing of his previous code violations.
Understand, Mrs. Friedman, that this violation will be against the land or property owner, not the tenant. It
correct.
Will be up to the landowner or property owner to...
And I understand that, and that's why I'm here. My concern is that I did not know that a code violation had occurred, as I received no notice on the 13th, nor the violation on the 19th.
Where
the only notice received...
Where was the notice sent?
I can tell you in a minute.
Steve? I do not have a file.
We do have a signature by, it looks like a Cine or Wayne.
Yes,
Wayne.
And that was on January the 26th, and that's 26th, the notice
correct.
Of hearing, not the violations.
What is the actual mailing address for the partnership or the company, Ms. Friedman? What is the mailing address for the record?
300 North Nova Road, Ormond Beach, 32174. You do have that correct.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that when the code's violations happen on the 13th and 19th, we were not aware that they were issued to the tenant at the location.
They shouldn't have been. They should have been issued to you as the property owner.
But nevertheless, I'm talking about when it is an initial violation. The initial violation is generally issued at the site where it's occurring. And they have a responsibility to ownership to make sure ownership knows what's going on. But ownership should have that type of relationship with the tenant. But the issue notice that something's a problem here is the person who's physically there to address the problem. Now they have opportunity to build that relationship, and if she wants to build that with the inspector, where the inspector can call her or make some quick and easy notice to the owner.
I would appreciate that. We have this property in Daytona. We have two other properties in Ormond Beach. And when a code violation by a tenant in Ormond Beach has happened, I immediately get notification of that violation. So I am then aware,
so
because tenants don't tell you when they're in.
You need to notify the code board secretary that in the future you want to be notified directly.
I can't bring a tenant into compliance unless I know that they're out of compliance.
Right.
And that's a quick clarification I was making, Mr. Ammon, is that she has the notice from of the violation that comes from the staff. What she missed was the notice of the initial violation that occurred. And, of course, she wasn't there. And
right.
They noticed the management or business.
From now on, it will be taken care of, though.
But with some...
I can absolutely give you my business card. I'd be willing to work with any of the code enforcement. We don't want to have any of our tenants out of compliance. This is a continuing problem with this tenant. And again, yes, the ultimate would be eviction. That's not what I want to do for my shopping center.
And we can't advise you that fact or action, Ms. Friedman. It was
right.
Something that was put out there.
Agreed.
But, man, this is not unusual to Daytona. Most communities
no.
have the outside sales. In fact, it's a violation not only of the city code, it's a violation of the International Fire Code also.
Agreed. Totally, absolutely agree. And the tenant's been notified numerous times, so.
Thank you very much. If you have any questions or problems, please contact the inspector.
I will get here. Officer
Clicks. Yeah, right.
Dan.
Okay.
Dan?
Dan?
His area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
give her Thomas
for
now. Okay. Case number 20, CEB 021022.
Maybe I missed something. Did we do 19?
Yes. That was the first one.
I apologize, sir.
Yeah, he was here, and
that was the first guy.
Actually, the next one.
Where are we?
What do you have, Steve? Case number 20.
20? Oh, sorry.
Respondent's obviously not here, so we're going to find him in noncompliance and set a date.
Yes, this is actually in compliance. This is another case, 250 University. Mm-hmm. Police I responded with a police officer, in fact, Officer Jessmer. Okay. We were playing cat and mouse with an RV and a boat across the street. In fact, it took much more than just parking control because it was kind of a nightmare. So anyway, when Officer Jessmer showed up, they were cited on site as well as violations through the code board.
Okay.
Different legal issues. But anyway, I was in contact with Mrs. Simon. She's now in compliance and has been, and also called me because I told her that I would represent her here. She has maintained compliance for quite a while now, but I would also like to have a request a will find just because of the longevity of time that we chased these two, the RV and the boat, around.
What was the compliance date?
Motion finding the respondent was previously non-compliant but currently compliant, and further that for any future occurrences violation of the respondent be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day.
$5,000 per occurrence.
$1,000 per occurrence.
$5,000.
Will fine.
Yeah. We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman.
Second.
And a second by Mr. Brown. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 21, CEB 021023, Kathleen M. Henriksen, Revocable Trust of 1998, dated 4/21/98. That's Robert's case.
Non-compliance, next cut off.
Chair, I have an ex parte confession.
Is it necessary to respond? It's not here.
He wants to disclose the ex parte communication.
The correspondent called me, his personal friend called me and asked me what he needed to do to come into compliance. I said he needed to pull the permit and call Mr. Keish and advise him that he had pulled the permit. He assured me that he will get it done within 30 days after that.
Okay.
Did he contact you?
I've been in contact with him, his contractor, and he has a permit.
He did pull the permit yesterday. That's what he told me he would do.
The permit was 2/9/10 issued.
You recommended a particular date, Dr. Bannerman?
30 days would be
30 days.
He seemed happy with 30 days.
Okay.
But I just need to confess that communication.
Right. Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until March 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case.
Since that issue came up, I had asked Andy, and I haven't had to talk to Tony about it, but is there any reason we couldn't put a line on our agenda, disclose your ex-party communication at the beginning? If anybody has an ex-party communication, you can disclose it right.
No,
that's the board's idea to have that. There's no reason we don't have that here. You do it once, you can disclose anything you have, and it takes care of the rest of the meeting.
Okay.
So could you include that in the future meeting agendas? Disclosure of ex-party communication.
So that maybe just before her agenda line or starting the case.
If anybody can disclose them, get them done, don't have to worry about it.
That's assuming that we read the agenda and recognize the ex parte.
The chair will say, is there any ex parte communication?
I don't want your agenda.
Above the lien reviews. Yeah, it's above the lien review. Fine.
Okay. Is there any disclaimer?
No.
Just put out. Okay.
I'll have Lisa go ahead and fax you some of the other agendas that I've had the board show. I'll ask Lisa to go back to the office. What's your fax number?
3363.
I'll have some other judges. You know exactly how to do it.
Thank you.
Case number 22, CEB 021024, Ernest and Joanne Rich. Respondent is not here.
See it up on the screen?
Oh, I hadn't looked up. Wow. Technology, it makes you look bad. What was that date again, Robert?
2-5-10
Let me just get under the desk just for a moment. Okay? We have a gentleman who's sitting in the audience. Did you
have a case with us?
No.
Okay, you're just here as a
trying to stay out of the cold, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Case number 23, CEB 021025, Blondell M. Azell.
Oh, well, what am I looking around for, Mike? Is you anyone here? Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until March 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance. Will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 24, CEB 021026. Is that Bina Trust? Okay, thanks, Mark.
578 Blue, compliance 28.
Compliance 28. Case number 25 has been disposed of. Case number 26, all 27, 28, all have been disposed of. Case number 29, CEB 021031, Matthews Properties, LLC.
Compliance 29.
Okay, thanks, Barbara. How do you pronounce case number 30, CEB 021032. I guess that's Ajit Dadani, 108 Joyelle Circle.
Non-compliance, next cutoff. I have had contact. She's been out of town with her mother sick in the hospital, but she will be back in town soon, and she will get the inspection done.
Okay, Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until March 3rd, 2010 to come to compliance. Will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine.
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Brown. Are there questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Case number 31 has also been disposed of. Case number 32, again, for the record, is in compliance as of 12810. Case number 33, CEB 021035, Robert and Heather Caliendo.
Non-compliance, and this is another fence issue at LPGA, and Robert, the owner, was here. He had to leave, and that's also an April cutoff.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Bannerman. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 34, again, for the record, is in compliance as of February 2nd, 2010. Case number 35, CEB 021037, J. Michael and Martha A. Matthews, 541 Blue Road.
Compliance 2810, and I can tell you it's much, much better looking than it is now right now. Much better.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Case number 36, CEB 021038, William and Kendra Stamp at 1711 Ocean Dunes Terrace. Dorm living.
That looks like it does.
This is the Will Farm, right?
Yes.
Steve, go ahead.
Again, I'm speaking for Officer Clegg. I have not inspected this one physically, just for the record. Officer Clegg, or actually it was Officer Garcia, checked this, or opened this one 12-10, issued 12-13 for CEB, green card received January 10, and put in compliance also 110. Mm-hmm. It is now in compliance. We're asking for a will find.
Make a motion finding respondent previously non-compliant. Currently is in compliance, but for any future occasion, we return to the board for consideration of five up to $5,000 per occurrence as a will find.
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Brown. Are there questions or comments by any member of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. That exhausts, well, for the record, case number 37 was disposed of previously. Miscellaneous business, case number CEB 1209224, there was an amendment of the minutes, and we are in need of an order vacating the fine and lien, and a compliance date needs to be set. That is... Yes, sir. What can you tell us about it?
This is the property at 37 South Grandview.
Okay.
I think it went out of turn or something, or...
Yes, the board imposed a fine at the last meeting based upon the minutes that said that there was a compliance date set, but there actually was not a compliance date set. So we need a compliance date.
Okay. Like, what do you think in terms of compliance? What are your thoughts?
30 days to knock it down should be okay.
March 3rd? That's not 30 days, but...
He's got to pull a permit to demo it and knock it down. It's a bank. They said they had to stay or something because they were in foreclosure, so I don't think anything's going
to
happen.
That's why the determination was made to continue without compliance.
Right.
Do they have a permit yet?
No.
Might want to go 60. I mean, I hate to do it because this is a problem property. But
he's not doing it. Yeah, well.
Is it secure?
It is now to city standards. Okay. We had it boarded up.
Make a motion amending our previous order and requiring the respondent to come into compliance by April 1st or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day.
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Does the amending the previous motion take care of the vacating and
finding?
Amending
the previous order?
Order.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You go on the watch?
Yes.
Are there
any comments by members of the board?
I'd just like to one more time reiterate that at the meeting we had at the police department, I believe it was, we discussed the code board doing lien reviews on code board liens and the magistrate doing lien reviews on magistrate liens, and we, the code board, unanimously voted 100% to endorse that policy. And I hope that we haven't set a precedent today which may come back to haunt us. I wonder if it would be appropriate, since Amy says there is nothing in writing to that effect, that we might want to make a motion endorsing that policy in the future.
Well, we just need to put it on the next agenda. We'll establish a policy that
we're doing that. Miscellaneous business on the next agenda? I don't know.
It's not on this agenda, so I can't discuss.
If we do, we'll have a full board then. Right. There's only five.
Oh, let me get a feel from the board before we even put that on there. Do you feel that we want to do that? We did at the time. Do we feel that way now?
Do it anyway. A full motion and second, we'll do that in those kind of situations that are necessary. But most of the time, it should go back to the magistrate.
And that's been the effort. I don't think that it's been overlooked. Obviously, there's a great benefit to historic knowledge. And, you know, there's no guarantee that the same people are sitting here hearing the case from when it happened, even when we're looking at the board. But there's a great benefit when someone has knowledge and they can bring that forward and have special reviews. So I think it's well recognized that it's beneficial and it's one of the things that can be done, and, you know, that's the thing that we ought to do. I think that even if you adopt as a policy for the code board, that wouldn't stop a magistrate one from coming to you. You just have to reject it. That's what you know.
No, we didn't. My point was we didn't do that this morning, and we all wrote it unanimously to follow that policy before. It just hasn't been written, apparently.
Yeah, did you understand what I just said? I said if you adopt that as a policy of the code board, that would not stop a magistrate case from coming on the agenda and asking to be heard. It's just up to you guys whether you would hear it or reject it. The same as, and you may remember, what violators used to do in the past. They'd come in if they weren't on the agenda and just come, this is a public meeting, and say, would you hear it? Would you consider this?
We don't want to start the storm shopping. We don't want to say, you know, we don't let the magistrates have to go to the code board.
Right. But that's what we want to avoid.
We want to avoid that. But a situation where you want to remove a lien, that's kind of, you know, we can decide whether we want to do that or not. We don't, you know.
Well, I think it's common practice. I just think this one particular one, the gentleman couldn't make it to the
meeting.
Yeah,
was, that's yeah. Right. Yeah, it was.
We'll continue to do it. I don't want to influence your opinion.
It was a benefit to the respondent in this particular case. And
I don't think it would have been a hardship for him to, if we suspended the interest for him to appear before the magistrate at the next meeting. I don't think it would have been a hardship for him. What he was concerned about was the fact that interest continued to accrue. And we could have suspended that. It's already done, so I will now shut up.
If you get the situation, Jim, we have somebody who's got a sale of what I'm asking, and there's a $100,000 lien, but they've got a sale, and you get it down to $10,000, and they can get the sale down to $10,000. I'll give you 3 weeks. In that kind of situation, we want to see a support decision.
Yes, and as I said before, we had a common practice before more people leave these.
That's why we have the lien review committee for emergency cases like that.
But if I can just point to something else in this whole, one of the things we're going to see, and this is something that's really come out of the whole request of reviewing the actions of the co-board and the co-team, and that's that, and we talked about it at the, and something we did talk about at the commission meeting, and that was this whole thing of us going back and reviewing the old cases. And a lot of what you will see, and that's where we're going to have this challenge of trying to make it work, is because we're bringing cases that really may be somewhere so deep away from the knowledge of the people here, as well as much as
where do we stand on the amnesty? Where do we stand on the amnesty program?
I am not sure. It's a staff function. I have not had a request at this point on where to go next. I believe the next thing that was going to happen was an actual action from the commission. There is another workshop.
Sheila McKay asked for another workshop with us.
Yes, this is workshop scheduled for the
18th.
At 6.
18th, yeah.
Yeah, February 18th at 6 p.m., I believe it is.
I think it is.
Yeah, that's like 2:30.
Where will it be?
I believe it's over at the police department.
Right.
The police department again?
I think so. I haven't heard.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be posted. I've seen it from the clerk, so apparently it may be posted wherever she posted those notices at this time. They are kind of analytical lately. I know we changed the website.
What was the time?
6 o'clock.
On the 18th. And so I think the objective on this workshop, and most I've heard, or best I've heard, and I haven't been in any formal meeting regarding it, is to look at some of the things that they would like to see happen and see what orders or ordinances
What our communities are doing with their amnesty program was what they were going to go back and look at.
So I think they're ready for it, but they want to take a formal action after they have another workshop.
Is there going to be participation on this board?
At 6 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of reluctantly happened last time.
Ms. Hines?
I don't think that there's... With a workshop, typically, it's not official. No one said, you know, this is a workshop that would include the code board. So I don't know.
I know they play that.
And I didn't establish it.
I mean, a workshop should be to include as much information as you can.
So they didn't include the code.
And you have a formal board, and you have a whole group of officers. They ought to have some input.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to do, you know, establishing what the agenda or the plan or the process. But generally, if it's a workshop with the commission, then it's the commission and staff and.
So where do
they? They want to ask the
do they get their information from? Do they make it up?
I don't have an answer. I'm sorry.
Ms. Himes?
Okay. Did I hear you say that as board members we can give information? I know that we cannot talk among ourselves, but as he was stating that he told the person, you're saying that's okay?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem. Don't discuss the case with them, but referring to the staff is not a problem.
Okay. The next question.
Can I just say something to that as well, Charlie, if I may? I think really that would, if I can try and understand your question in full and try and answer it a little bit more fully, is I don't think you want to pursue people. I mean, you know about a property. I don't think anyone was wanting to go out and say, hey, you need to do this, 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 and take care of it. But if someone, I mean, y'all are in the community, everyone knows you're in the community, that's your community board, that's the purpose. So if someone calls on you because they know you're part of the board and want you to do something or consider something, you're not considering anything, but you can give them direction on where they need to go, what needs to be done. And then I think it was a good thing that Mr. Bannerman did, a proper thing, is to say, I've had some exposure, and here's what it was, and then, you know, done with it. That's that point that Charlie made as far as change, amending our agenda to give you all that opportunity to say that, so that you can make sure that, you know, I've had some communication for whatever it was worth. I didn't go out there, didn't do anything, but here it is.
It's best to just give them information where they can go. If they persist, could you want to clear, so you always say at the meeting, just say, talk to me about the situation, but the decision I'm going to make today is based upon what I hear here at the meeting.
Okay, the next question was, and I just put it in there, had it the case, when our woman dies, I know you were saying earlier about probate, but is the fine continuously going on?
Yeah, the fine is an in rem action. It goes on against the property, not against the person. So dying does not stop the fine.
Okay.
But we'll do that. We can do about it to stop the fine.
I mean, well, and again, it's a general lien, so there's some aspect of it for the person, but like absolutely, once they die, that part, the portion that affects the person is individual.
Right.
It's not, you know, part of their estate. So, I mean, a person, once they decease, it's not going to affect them any longer.
Yeah.
But it will continue to affect the property because it's actually more, it is in wrong action, as Charlie said.
Yeah.
I had a couple other things, but if you have more, go on,
yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
I just don't know what it means. So.
You need new glasses or longer arms?
Oh, I know what I was saying. Just a continuation of that. Now what they are doing is going out and they're getting these old cases and they're pulling them up. And we're going to have people that come forward. And we're not bringing them forward to say that they were negligent or bad people. We don't know anything about them. We don't know why they don't know. And obviously most of them will say the first thing is that we didn't know. And so we'll bring as much information as we can to you to try and give you the full picture. But our whole thought is, you know, writing this history of wrong that we don't, you know, we're doing good now. We acknowledge, and I think in the workshops we've acknowledged that prior we kind of let things get deep into a situation that it doesn't show the true picture to the rest of the world. We don't want a $400,000 lien on a $26,000 house anymore. And so that's really what we're trying to correct. And that whole thing of the caps, we've been talking at staff. We really haven't solidified the way that we're approaching it. But whatever staff is doing regarding that, you guys remember that it's only a recommendation. The most important thing, though, is that once we've laid it out there that y'all have discussed it and that the record shows that you've considered it and you've decided, because you may decide that someone was so egregious or so rude or so this or so that, never showed up, and it may be three cars, but it should be a $100,000 lien, and they may have 12 other properties that they don't care about. You know, so y'all have the right to consider whatever you're going to consider. I mean, one more thing with that is, and the fine itself, the base fine, you've got to remember, when we start talking caps, don't forget about your base fine. Because the basis for your fine is still going to be, you know, the criteria you have there, the egregiousness of the violation, had it been a violator before, and what did they do to try and come into compliance. And looking for consistency at the $2,500 or whatever else may not be realistic when you're looking at the criteria. So the criteria may say, this should be $150 fine with a cap of $5,000, another would be $25 fine with a cap of $8,000 or $5,000. But the base fine is still going to be based on the criteria. This is just some notes I made quick as we were thinking, because we're trying to become better at the staff level.
While you're reviewing your notes, on lien review number one, that was the case where we just got rid of because we realized it went to the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of the other ones that potentially to come to us maybe fit that same mold where we can just save some paper?
Have we realized it before we came to you? we probably would have taken administrative action. I mean, after the 90 days of it being recorded, it's really the city's lien, and if the city sees an unjust thing, we don't really need to bring that and say, oh, it's no good, the lien's no good, so we just dump it. We wouldn't. And that's what we're part of that research is. That research is saying their first job is to go out, find out what the status is, and then to do some digging and find out what the problem is. And if we find that the problem is the city didn't do something, technically, we still could have gone forward. We recorded the lien and all those types of things, but in all fairness, and it was right. It was what the statute required us.
And Tony, in defense of staff, it wasn't staff's fault. That was the address that was on the property appraiser site. Now, maybe their staff made an error, but it wasn't city staff's fault.
Although once we got to think back, we probably should realize that we know the main trail is not Daytona.
Right.
And just on a well-found point, the important thing for us to remember with the well-found and announcing the well-found is that what we're really doing is establishing an acknowledgement of repeat violation, and it can't be a repeat violation until we establish a finding of noncompliance. Because what we're saying is the next time that they've been previously found in noncompliance, and that's what gives us our authority to treat them as repeat violators. So there has to be that finding of noncompliance as part of that.
Well, we've done that every time this morning.
It was mine. When I actually called for the motion, I didn't include that language.
This one, but I know it's they're wrong, and they know it. But and I don't think there's anything we could do. But maybe it was just me. I didn't think that the young lady really understood it.
That's why I kept talking to her to make sure that she had some. I went over that three or four times with her trying to make sure she understood it.
And once again, one of the most important things for me as city mayor is that, and I think we talked about it in our meetings as well with the staff meeting, is that we recognize that you guys are the guys who are making decisions. We make recommendations. We're not trying to sit there and push or force on. We're very thankful that y'all give credence to their wisdom, and we recognize that they've been out there and they're on the scene, but we still fully respect the decisions that the board make. And when it's all said and done, no matter how fussy they are here or how fussy I am here, when we go back, we recognize that, you know, it's the board's decision that you made.
Remember when I first came on the board, it was an older man, and he had someone with him, but he was Alzheimer's all the way, and we put a lien on his property, and no doubt that, you know, he's gone, and he never did understand.
Yeah, something I mentioned to the magistrate, and I mentioned to you guys as well. We get, and I'm sure Charlie sees them. We get the Municipal Association's newsletters that come out, and they send like a list of all of the different activities going on in all the cities. And one thing that's going on a lot in the cities over the last probably half a year has been looking at code enforcement and people really having difficulty with the way code enforcement is addressing the problems, property problems. You know, some the citizens giving backlash on the city going after a fine or a foreclosure, for instance. And so the more you have to justify, although we may be great legally, we also unfortunately ultimately have this whole public answer as well. But we always start with, are we in the right position legally? And Charlie did everything he can to keep you there, and I'll make every argument I can to try and let you know what I think. But as long as you're legal, I think the public scrutiny, you know, will have to answer to you at least was following your procedures along.
We do the best we can in the statute. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can't solve the problem that people have, they'd like us to solve.
Yeah.
Especially these foreclosure issues.
Yeah, and the public opinion has no knowledge or understanding of the statute or the rules. They just have a public opinion. And I noticed that there has been a number of jurisdictions where there's been a whole lot of hoopla about their actions that the city's taken against properties.
Tony, if I can add a comment regarding Mrs. Himes' comment regarding Ms. Grindstaff, I thought, too, that the inspector could actually take her to the side and explain what we had imposed in terms of a fine and the action that we took. So we do have that as well, that the inspector can actually, I think they always do explain what has been decided.
I've dealt with her before, and I'll make sure, and I'm sure he will try and relay what happened to her.
Yeah. Any other?
Thank you.
Anything else?
Wrap the gavel. Terrence, let's get out of here.
Mr. Brown?
No. You were complaining I didn't win long enough.
Well, now noon. It's now noon, and that's what I like to see is noon. Let's go to noon each time.
You got
2 minutes. Symes, do you have any comments? Amy?
Are we adding the discussion of the policy for the liens?
For next year, next meeting.
I think we should make a formal decision one way or the other. Put it on the record.
Oh, whether or not you hear the magistrate cases?
You can put it on the miscellaneous business.
Yeah,
I don't think.
From Charlie, you can some follow up with him.
I don't think that discussion is really going to take a long time. I don't think so. Not for Jesper.
I'm fine, sir. Thank you.
I'd just like to make one, and I probably should have done this at the beginning of the meeting. I'd like to welcome back Mrs. Himes, and it's good to know that you're doing very much better. I know you had some health issues before. It's good to see you back. Good to have you. Hope you stay healthy now. And for the record, Mr. Jones will not be at next month's meeting. He said he would be on vacation, I believe. Okay? If there are no others.
Just for the record, you did tell me, and I told him to follow the email. He said he was sick at the last meeting, and he called the clerk, and she didn't get the information. I told him to follow up with another email. Let's put it part of the record, so it could be an excused absence, but an excuse.
Okay. Okay. We adjourn.